Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hot Topics from the Soul with your host, Dr. Valerie N. Parker, businesswoman, author, speaker, and life coach. Dr. Parker is the president of Arise by VMP, which is a speakers bureau and public relations company. She is also the visionary and founder of the Soul of a Woman Foundation that brings awareness to domestic violence and children living in single-parent homes. Hot Topics from the Soul is a virtual lifeline to the community, discussing social and political issues, relationships, finances, motivation, and inspiration. For information regarding products, services, and resources, visit www.fromthesoulofawoman.com. That's www.fromthesoulofawoman.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I now present to you your host, Dr. Valerie Parker.
Well, good evening and welcome to Hot Topics from the Soul. I'm your host, Dr. Valerie Parker. I thank you for joining me tonight. And today is officially Groundhog Day. Yay! It's February 2nd, Groundhog Day. But I am so excited to be on the air with you guys today. And my co-host, Shirley Carter, will be joining us shortly. But tonight, I have a special guest. She's going to be talking about credit. We all need it, gotta have it, and we all want good credit. Her name is Constance Carter, no relation to Shirley Carter, but she is a motivational speaker, entrepreneur, author, who has made it her life mission to introduce everyday people to wealth-building experiences. Constance, are you there?
I am here. Thank you so much for having me on today. I appreciate it.
I am so excited. You know, it's the beginning of the year. People are trying to get their money straight, and they've made resolutions, New Year's resolutions. I'm not going to buy that dress. I'm not going to buy that car. I'm going to straighten up my house. I'm going to clean out my closet. I'm going to take those things with tags and return them if I can.
Absolutely.
Well,
I believe that people should make resolutions every month.
Every month?
Every month, absolutely. People should make resolutions, not just yearly, but every month, to do better, to be better, and to create better opportunities for themselves and for their family. But let's talk about that. What were you going to say? I'm sorry for interrupting you.
Oh, no problem. But you have a book called Keeping Score. Now, everybody wants good credit. They want to have it. They try to have it. But all of a sudden, it just, life happens.
Right.
So what happens when life happens when you're trying?
You know.
Like take for instance. Well, let me give a little bit of my story because I want to be I'm always transparent with my audience. And, you know, because people are like, oh, she don't know what it is to go through and have bad credit. Well, I had top credit, A, Boon credit, but you know when the market crashed a few years ago, everything went south. And I found myself, I had, you know, major credit cards that I had never used before, and I made it my mission and my goal to educate my children financially. And I said to them, you get credit cards, but you don't use them unless it's an emergency. And and if you do, you get a credit card and you use it.
Valerie.
I'm sorry, could you hear me?
I can hear you now. I lost you for a minute.
I'm like, okay. Oh, do they hear me? But
You just went dead on me.
I'm like, what happened? But I told my children, you know, to make sure that you always maintain good credit because that is your power. So if you can go from there and enlighten us and share some information with our listening audience, I greatly appreciate it.
Absolutely. Valerie, I come from a different place, so that's so good that you educated your children. The way I knew and found out about what good and bad credit was growing up. My parents, I remember my parents overhearing them talk about what they couldn't get. They couldn't do this. They couldn't do that. Oh, we got bad credit. We got bad credit. So well, I said, oh, God, I don't know what bad credit is, but I'm never going to have bad credit when I grow up. So, you know, I started out just like you. I started out with great credit, 800 credit scores, bought my first home when I was 23, and, you know, worked in the Silicon Valley. And then, you know, I got into real estate, started making a good amount of money. You know, every year I probably made a nice six-figure income. And so as you make more, you start wanting more, right? You start wanting bigger cars and bigger homes. And now you have all these projects that you must do, you know. And so that's what we did. We ended up getting more and more and more. And we suddenly got ourselves over our heads in debt. And at one point, we were paying out between $15,000 to $20,000 per month in expenses. And we just, you know, we were drowning. And so I went from that nice 800 credit score down to a 380. You're talking about rock credit bottom, right?
So yeah, that was real
bottom. I said,
bottom.
Okay, oh, yeah. bottom.
I never went under 500.
No, I'm 380. You say, it say started from the bottom. Now we're here. I started from the top. Now I was down there. And so I said, okay, this is stressful because I made it my life's mission for me to always have good credit. I always did everything right, always organized my bills and made sure I paid everything on time or before the time. And so I said, you know, I got to get back on track. You know, this is ruining my life. I ended up filing bankruptcy. And you would think, you know, when someone files bankruptcy, it's like the worst thing in the world. But for me, it was the best thing in the world for me to do. I mean, I walked out of that court feeling liberated. All of the bad credit I had had now disappeared. Okay, so where do I restart? Now I got to restart my life because now, you know, I've gone from essentially 800 credit score down to a 380. So I started taking some classes. Because I was in real estate, I wanted to get educated more so on credit. I took a Freddie Mac Credit Smart course, and then I took another class and became a certified credit expert. So I essentially got myself back up to the high 700s. And it didn't take very long. I mean, I was probably in the 700s within a year of filing bankruptcy. And
really?
I said, okay, now yes, absolutely. So I said, now I got to apply this for my clients. I could help so many people because people think credit is so scary and it's not as scary as they think. They think it's like the boogeyman in the closet that, you know, nobody wants to deal with. You know, and I do these credit education where I go out and I talk to people. I call them credit parties, and I go out and talk to people. And we'll do like a one-on-one consultation at the end, and I'll pull their credit. And people are like, no, please don't pull my credit. But they want to know, but they don't want to know, but they want to know, but they don't want to. And a lot of times their credit is nowhere near as bad as they think it is, but they just have not dealt with it. And so when you don't deal with it, nothing happens. The good thing is that at a certain point, you know, the bad stuff starts to fall off, right? 7 years, we know bad stuff falls off. But if you've done nothing to reestablish yourself, then nothing happens, and you're just kind of at a standstill. And so people have missed out on wealth-building opportunities because they are just too afraid to kind of face their credit demons. So that's kind of where I am, and I just kind of help them on the credit. Now let's get your finances. Let's get you in a home because I believe everybody, you know, if you have a job, you can own a home. So let's figure out how. There's never a no with me, but it's just kind of like, okay, let's figure out how we could do it. There's ways around this. There's more than one way to skin a cat. So I just basically applied the principles that I applied to my life, and I've been able to help thousands of people become homeowners. And, it's just the most rewarding experience that I think I could ever gain is just helping those people who never thought that they can purchase a home, people who thought that they were just out. They were just, you know, destined to be renters forever. And to get them into a home is just, it's one of the most rewarding experiences ever. So I love it.
Well, that's a great story that you shared with the audience. But, you know, a lot of my audience is also single women, mm-hmm. and they feel that, oh, I can't own a home because I'm single.
Mm-hmm. And that is so untrue, Valerie. That's so untrue. I mean, like I said, if you have a job, you can own a home. And there's small things you can do to get on track. Number one, did you know that you can add your rental, the house that you rent or the apartment that you rent? Did you know that you could add that to your credit report, boost up your score? I've had people go from no credit to over 600, or people who've been in the 600s go to 700 when they've added that. Did you know that if you have too many addresses?
Well, wait a minute, Constance. When you say you can add, if you rent a place, you can add that to your credit score, explain that.
Well, there are several companies out there that will take your rental history. You pay them a small fee. They'll take your rental history and they'll put it on your credit report, and it'll boost your score.
Mm.
That's a fact that a lot of people aren't aware of. It's in my book.
Well, they absolutely have to buy your book. Now, the other question I have is, you talked about filing bankruptcy, and people feel oftentimes that, you know, it's like an unpardonable sin, that if you file bankruptcy, your life is over, no, you'll never be able to establish credit again, or people will look at you sideways when they hear bankruptcy, they'll run.
Right.
But how much of a myth is that?
Listen, you have to look at it as a business decision. Donald Trump filed bankruptcy. Is anybody calling him anything other than a rich man? I live in the city of Stockton. 2 or 3 years ago, they filed bankruptcy. It was a business decision. For me, when I filed bankruptcy, it was a business decision. I was still making good money, but I said, okay, I have to reestablish. You have to look at it as though you're reestablishing yourself. And once
well,
you've
tell me
gotten
the difference between bankruptcy, the different types that you can file.
Sure. So there's a Chapter 11 bankruptcy. I'm sorry, Chapter 13. Chapter 11 is for businesses. Chapter 13, and then there's a Chapter 7. A Chapter 13 is when you have to repay back the debt. So you have you've come to an agreement, and they've put you on a repayment plan. And then Chapter 7 is just when they wipe everything away, and you don't have to pay anything back. I think statistically, and I'm not an attorney, so you can't quote me on this, but most people who end up filing a Chapter 13, they never complete the repayment, and they end up filing a Chapter 7 anyways. So a lot of times attorneys will get you to do a Chapter 13 knowing that you're going to come back and pay them again for Chapter 7. The best thing to do, in my opinion, is just follow Chapter 7, get rid of all that debt, and reestablish yourself. Now, reestablishing yourself is probably one of the easiest things and that a lot of people get wrong. And that's one of the things I run across so many times is, you know, within a year, you can be back in the 700s, and in 2 years, you can be owning a home after bankruptcy. But people have failed to reestablish their credit after bankruptcy. That's getting a small credit card. You know, once you file bankruptcy, you'll start getting card offers in the mail. You know, go ahead and get a card or two, or maybe even three. Use them, but use them lightly. So get a $300 credit card. That way, you won't go crazy. You don't have, you know, you don't get a $5,000 credit card, but get a small credit card. Use it, pay it off. Use it, pay off. Get gas, pay it off. Go to 7-Eleven. This is what I do. Go to 7-Eleven, buy a 5-hour energy drink before I go to the gym. Pay it off. You know, sometimes what people don't know is when you don't use your credit cards or when you pay them to zero and you don't use it, it could actually drop your score because the way that the algorithms are set up is activity. They want to see activity. So you need to use it. Don't just keep it dormant, but use it. But just use it lightly. Keep your balances below 30%. Don't go above 30%. You've done that because your revolving or your credit card debt is 30% or 35% of your whole credit picture. That's huge. The quickest way you can increase your score, quickest way you could drop your score. If you become late on your credit card payment, it could kill you. You know, 50, 60, sometimes 100 points. But if you're paying on time, you have a good lengthy credit card, and your balances are low, oh my gosh, you'll have the optimal.
How
optimal
low do they have to be? 30% low?
30% of the limit. So if your limit is $1,000, keep it below $300. Use it. just keep it below 300. If it's 300, keep it below $50.
Okay, so if you have like a $15,000 credit limit, it should be it shouldn't go over 10,000.
15,000 shouldn't go. Let me now you got to get give me my got me getting my calculator. So 15,000 not over 4,500.
4,500.
Keep it below 40. Mm-hmm. From 15,000, 30% of 15,000 is 4,500. Right, 15,000 times 0.3. Yep, 4,500. So keep those low, but that's the quickest way. The other thing, too, and I'll tell you about credit cards, because people make these mistakes all the time. Never, ever, ever close a credit card. If you have a good credit card, you've had it for a long time, the worst thing that you can do is close that credit card account. You might get mad at the company. You might say, hey, I got a 30% interest rate. I want you to bring me down to 19%. I've had a good standing with you, and, you know, I've had this credit card a long time. You can negotiate your interest rate. So you could ask your banks or your credit card companies to bring your interest rates down. But if they said, I'm not going to bring your rate down, you know, it's unfortunate, but don't close that account. Use it lightly, because the longer your credit history, the better or the higher your score is going to be. So make sure that you could try to keep your credit cards as long as you can, because that's going to be hugely affect your score.
Yeah, so if you get a credit card and then decide that you don't want it after 1 or 2 months, then that hurts you.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it will absolutely hurt you.
Okay, now getting back to the bankruptcy part, and those of my listening audience that wish to ask Constance Carter some credit questions, you just simply press 1, and I will put you in queue, and you can ask her questions regarding your credit score and how to maintain it, how to make it better. But getting back to the bankruptcy part, what is the criteria for filing a Chapter 7 versus a Chapter 13?
There are income restrictions, and they're different if you are self-employed than if you are a W-2 wage earner. And I believe it differentiates per state. But, you know, that's something that you'd have to sit down with a bankruptcy attorney and discuss. Typically they'll do a consultation. They'll charge you maybe $100 for a consultation to sit down, pull your credit report, and let you know what you can do. When I filed bankruptcy, I had a baby, and I didn't have any insurance, and I had a $50,000 hospital bill that you know, I needed to take care of. But there were some like good credit cards that I had for years, and I was like, I don't want to close these, I don't want to include them. And they were like, you know, so you got to take the good with the bad. The good stuff that you have and the bad stuff, it all goes into the bankruptcy. One of the things that my bankruptcy attorney did also, I told him, look, I got this car, I want to keep this car, don't put my car in the bankruptcy. He said, yeah, okay. And he ended up putting it in the bankruptcy anyway. And so I didn't know until later, and then I found out that he did, but I didn't want the car anymore. And so that was – because he probably knew. He probably had insight that, you know, she's probably not going to want this car anyway. So it actually ended up working out. So just as much as you can, you know, if you're going to reestablish yourself – and, again, I look at it as a business decision, you know, and I was able to reestablish myself relatively quickly. If it's the route that you have to go, don't feel ashamed. People are doing it all the time. And because of the whole economy shifting and the meltdown and all that stuff, a lot of people were negatively impacted, and folks are doing it all the time. And so I did it at a time where everyone was doing it. and I was able to reestablish myself. But I looked at it as a business decision. A lot of times when I'll pull people's credit, you know, they'll have $30,000 in debt, and it's like, okay, you could either, it'll either take you 15 years to pay this off, or you can file bankruptcy and get it done and be in a house in 2 years. And that's how we kind of have to look at it. Now, I don't ever advise anyone to do that, because I'm not an attorney, so I just want to put that disclaimer out there. But I do give them the options. I say, okay, you know, you can do this and you'll be in a home in 2 years, or, you know, let's look at it and see how long it's going to take you to pay off all your bills and what makes better sense for you, because that's what it all boils down to also.
So when you file Chapter 7, you have to put everything in the air, your good and the bad.
The good, bad, and the ugly. Yeah,
because,
and there's certain things,
because they won't let you keep it or reestablish it. You have to put it in there.
Right.
You can't make no
right.
side deals and say,
no.
I just want to pay this thing. You got to put it all
right.
in.
Right. You got to throw it all in. You got to put all your cards on the table.
Okay, well, I have some of my listening audience that want to ask you some questions. I'm talking to Constance Carter, who's a motivational speaker, entrepreneur, author, and business coach. She is the author of Keeping Score. Call a 9560, you're live.
Oh,
hello.
That's me. Hi, hello.
Hi.
Yeah, yeah. I have a question. I have this credit card, and it's about $450, and I just stopped paying on it. And I went a couple of times to get another card to get a better history on it, but I didn't do that either. So where do I go from there? I have one small credit card, and then I have a car that I've been late with the last, like the last 2 months because of auto repairs and so on and so forth. How do I correct that to get my credit score back up?
So when you have lates, it's kind of hard to, like, get rid of the lates. So the only thing that really heals lates is time, right? So there's a couple of things that that you can try to do. I've had clients that have had, like, say they've had a good history on their credit card, and they'll go back to the credit card company and say, hey, you know I've had this credit card for 4 years, and you know I've never been late. Can you give me a courtesy late removal? Call your credit card company and ask if they could do that. If you've consistently been late for the last 4 months, they probably won't do it. You can ask them to, and then as far as your car is concerned, you know, you may have to do make some type of arrangements to get caught up. But the only thing that really heals late payments is time, and just try to stay on time for the next 12 months. And by, you know, in 12 months, good payment history, your score should increase.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome.
Thank you so much. Caller 2175, you're live.
Hi, thank you so much. I've enjoyed this program, and thank you so much for having her and being able to help me. I have this uninsured card that I had got from one of the banks, and it was like a $200 It was $200 that I could spend off that card. And so I start adding like $100, and I was paying it faithfully. And I wind up, my credit came up real good, real good.
Good.
And a lot of things came off of my credit because I couldn't keep up with the, I had start paying someone, you know, like you, yourself, but I couldn't keep up with the payment. But for what they did for me, just for that one payment, was perfectly done because I didn't have real, real bad, and I didn't know that. But anyway, I want to know, because what happened is that I just stopped paying on it. I just stopped because they told me that, you know, they started adding 300, then they went to 400. You understand? So I'm like, well, how can y'all do this? And it's an uninsured, you know, card. And the next thing is that when my credit came up like that, I was able to get a car, and I was able to buy a trailer. So, you know, I want to know now I'm stuck again. So I want to know, where do I go from here, and how do I start, you know, with that card, and how do I do? Because that card, you know, like I say, it was good because it did do me some good. Thank you so much for sharing that. Thanks.
Yeah. So when you say uninsured, I'm thinking that you mean a secured credit card. Was it a secured credit card?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Okay. What it is it says uninsured because it's not insured. Because like if I had not paid, you understand me? Let's say I had $200 on it, mm-hmm. and if I had not paid that $200, I mean, you know, if I had not paid my monthly bill, then they could automatically take that $200.
Right. Right, right, and it sounds like a secured credit card also. So you stopped paying on this credit card, correct?
Right.
Okay, so you stopped paying on the credit card, but after you stopped paying on the credit card, you still were able to purchase a car, you still were able to purchase a trailer, correct?
No. I did this before while I was paying for the card because the card shot my points up. It shot it straight up. So I was able to come in, get a car, you know, and do the little stuff that I really wanted to do. But the thing is, now I'm back to that same stage. You see what you understand what I'm saying now? I'm back to the, you know, what do I do now with that car? But see, they keep adding on.
Well, of course, once it goes into collections, they're going to keep adding on fees and keep adding on fees and keep adding on fees. And so depending on how they're reporting, and that's the important thing because sometimes it's not always the best thing to pay off a collection, a bill once it goes a collection. That's not always a thing because if it hasn't reported on your credit report in 2 years, it's not affecting your score. And so a lot of times people will pay off old collections, and they'll end up what we call waking up the dead. So now you have a paid collection.
Hmm? But it did. It brought it down. After I didn't pay it brought it back down.
It'll bring it down. So depending on how it's reporting, then we'll be able to see how you need to deal with it. But unfortunately, well, two things. You can call the credit card companies and say, I'm going to go ahead and pay this off. And if I pay this off in full, will you delete it from my credit report? Because they can delete the collection if you pay it in full. Or you could say, I'd like to settle. So if you settle, so say, you know, once it goes to collections, a collection agency it pays only a certain percentage for that debt. They might pay 10% on the dollar. They might pay 50%. So all they're trying to get is at least what they've paid and a little bit of a profit from what they pay for that collection. So you can call them and you can settle and they'll close out and then they'll stop harassing you and stop adding those fees. So I would call depending on what you want to do, because if you want it off your credit, you're probably going to have to pay the entire debt, but it'll be removed from your credit report and your scores will go up and then you could probably apply and reestablish your credit. Or you can settle and then they'll stop harassing you. So those are the two options I think are probably the best for you.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much for calling in. Okay, but Constance, if you settle, let me ask this question. If you settle with a collection agency, will they remove it off your credit as it settles, even though it's not a full payment?
They'll put it on your credit report. It'll say that it was settled. But it'll say that it's been satisfied and it'll be paid, but a short pay. So they won't remove it. It'll stay on there for about 7 years. There's other methods that you can do though, and I outline them in my book, Keeping Score. It's available on Amazon. But there's other things that you can do in terms of having them validate the debt. A lot of times when a collection goes to a collection agency, an account goes to a collection agency, they're just buying them in bulk from these different creditors, right? A lot of times they don't have any further information on the debt. They're just collecting and they're just reporting. You have the right as a consumer to ask them to verify or validate that debt. And if they cannot validate that debt by law, then they are required to remove it. And so in my book, I don't have it in front of me, there's verbiage that you can put in this validation dispute that you send over to the company and say, you know, per this law, I need you to validate the debt, and these are the three things I need you to validate. Validate the application date, or show me the application that I took out on this debt. show me a payment that I made on this debt. And there's one other thing, like I said, it's in the book. And if they cannot do that, they have to, by law, stop reporting and stop harassing you. And if they continue to do that, they can be fined at a minimum of $1,000, but they can be fined.
Interesting. Now, how can they get a listening audience get your book?
My book is on Amazon.com, and you could just look for Keeping Score, Constance Carter, or you could just look up Constance Carter. But Keeping Score, what you need to know to make your credit score grow. And like I said, there's just little little tidbits and tips in there. And it's really a short book. I purposely didn't make it too long because I wanted to just give you the nuts. So you could probably just whip through the whole book in like an hour. But you'll walk away with so much information, and this is the same information that I teach with my credit parties, but you'll get so much information and a lot of things that you probably didn't know and little tips and tricks to increase your scores relatively quickly. But by design, I made sure that it was very short, to the point, and it had everything that I think that they needed to start. I mean, it's not a quick fix credit repair book, but it is designed to really, you know, educate you. And a lot of times when people will pay people, like the last call, I think she said she paid somebody to maybe do some credit repair, there's some things that you could actually do by yourself. And so that's what the book does. It really helps you to figure out what you can do by yourself. And there's a credit journey journal at the end, which will kind of help you keep track of your progress in increasing your score. So go on Amazon. It's there.
Well, I'm glad you have it there on Amazon and it's accessible to our audience. And one of the things that I say is less is more, because you have these great big old books with all this information and it's going gibberish and you're reading over and over and you get confused and then you toss it on the side. A quick reference book like what you have will, you know, take people directly to what their need is and they can fix it and move on with their lives instead of mulling over reading things that they don't understand.
Right.
So I thank you so much for doing that, for putting out a product such as this to help us get it right in 2016. Yes. You know, February, we normally start relationship month in, but so many people are having issues with finances. You know, there is no romance when the finances are going south.
I know that's right, Valerie. Well, you know, it's always been my mission. Like, I think I mentioned in the beginning, but I love helping people, and I love especially helping those people who thought that they didn't have an opportunity to maybe purchase a home or just wanted to get it right. And it's so many people that just suffer from this misinformation that's out there. And I wanted to put it in a way that's so plain that anybody could pick it up. I mean, I'm serious. I've gotten so many people saying, hey, you know, this is a great book for high schoolers. You know, can you come out to our high school and talk to these high schools about how to prepare and how to get their credit right? Because it's such an easy read. You know, I have a 12-year-old. He can read it and comprehend it pretty well. And I try to, you know, I did that by design, that anybody who could pick it up can read it and really understand. And I talk about different ways that I've helped clients so that you can know that, hey, you know, you can really relate and resonate with their particular story. So hopefully they'll pick it up. And then on my Facebook page, you go to my Facebook page, please like my page. It's Constance Carter, Real Estate Broker. Go to my Facebook page, like my page. I always put out a video every week, and I'm talking about all kinds of stuff. So I'm talking about credit. I'm talking about how to purchase a home, how to get qualified, what to look out for, how to not lose money in a deal. You know, just those types of things, just getting people really focused and educated on the process, because people come and people have gotten ripped off. I mean, it's happened to me. When I bought my home at 23, I went through a couple of different agents, and they weren't looking out for my best interest. And so I lost, you know, $1,000, and $1,000 is a lot for a 22, 23-year-old. In fact, $1,000 is a lot today. You know, if I lost $1,000 on a deal, it would not. Yeah, it's not a fun thing. And so people don't look out for people's best interest. And so I just want to get the information out there for everybody, because I want to make sure that, you know, you're not getting taken advantage of, because I was there. I've gotten taken advantage of, and I just want to make sure that people are getting the right information.
Okay, so let's recap something. I keep wanting to talk about this bankruptcy deal because,
let's talk about it.
So many people. I filed bankruptcy right after I got divorced. So I know it was a good thing for me. And it, mm-hmm. and I was able to reestablish my credit, just like you said, and I bought my home single. And matter of fact, when my daughter was 21, she bought her first home at 21 years old. So I know that.
That's what I'm talking about. I love it.
Absolutely.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, success leaves clues, I always say. So, but it is such a taboo when you're trying to move on with life. You know, you got this noose around your neck because of bad relationships, bad choices, and then you say, well, if I do this, I'm going to be stuck, paralyzed. Well, if you file bankruptcy, will it prohibit you from renting a home or anything? Okay.
No, not at all. I mean, you know, again, I just think it's you have to. It's all in your outlook, right? Everything that you do is all how you come out of it, and how you focus and how you goal set in order to get wherever you need to go. So if you look at it as, you know, say it's a minor setback, it's a setback. Shoot, for me, it wasn't a setback. For me, being $15,000 to $20,000 a month in debt was a setback, right? So for me to go from that to not having anything, and being able to start fresh and not have the weight of the world on my shoulders, not having to, you know, worry about, you know, are they going to come and take my Mercedes? Are they going to come and, you know, take my home? You know, whatever it was. So get once you've filed bankruptcy and the bankruptcy has been completed, start reestablishing yourself. Go on Credit Karma. I talk about Credit Karma in my book. I talk about the different monitoring platforms. And let me just tell you this. The information is out there. It's out there. It's out there. There's so many credit monitoring platforms out there that the information is virtually free. You can know
now,
is
Credit Karma free?
Credit Karma is absolutely 100% free. Now, let me just tell you guys, because people, and this is what I see all the time, people come to me and they'll be like, hey, Credit Karma said my credit score is 700. I'm ready to buy a house. And when I pull their credit, it's 580. The scores on Credit Karma are not accurate. Okay, let me repeat that. The scores on Credit Karma are not accurate. But the information on Credit Karma is accurate. And if you're following your scores.
Okay, how is that, though?
Well, because they are, we call those FICO scores. They're not necessarily FICO scores. So they're really kind of like educational scores. They're their internal determinant on what they believe your scores are, but they're not actually like a FICO score. So they're not going to be the same as what I would pull as a mortgage broker. But the information is there. And so if you look at the scores and you see it rising, it's a pretty indicator that in real life your credit score is rising, but the information is there. So on Karma, you can go in there. It gives you a little advice on what you could do to increase your score. It has offers on Credit Karma. And this is what I love about Credit Karma, because no matter what your scores are, it'll say, okay, based upon your profile, we don't have to do a hard credit inquiry, but based upon your profile, we see that you can qualify for this credit card. So it takes the guesswork out. You don't have to go out and start trying to apply for a bunch of different credit cards. You can go on Credit Karma and they'll say, hey, Capital One says that they'll automatically approve you for a $300 credit card. Okay, go ahead and apply for that. You know, once you file bankruptcy, go on there and see what kind of offers there are out there. If you need to buy a car, you know, go on Credit Karma. It'll tell you what companies will approve you for a car loan. So you do that, and then that way you won't have to be, you know, going to all these different places and getting all these different inquiries on your credit report. It's right there. And so I love that. But there's Credit Karma, there's MyFICO, there's a bunch of different, there's annualcreditreport.com, there's a bunch of different monitoring platforms out there that are absolutely free. So there's no reason why you should not know what your credit score is. And it's so important to be vigilant about checking and monitoring your credit, because if you aren't, then perhaps somebody else is. When I got introduced to Credit Karma a few years ago, I went to log on and somebody else had already opened my account for me with my information. I said, huh?
Really?
Yes, they took my information and they were monitoring my credit and they were probably getting ready to get some things. So I had to contact Credit Karma and say, hey, somebody else, and the username, and I still have the same username, it's Constance Money. Who's Constance Money? Well, okay, whatever. But somebody had took my information and opened up their own account. So you don't know who's out there stealing your information, stealing your identity. Somebody might have a house or two or three in your name, and you have no idea because you're scared because you've made some mistakes in the past, and now you don't want to deal with them now. But you got to deal with them, face those credit demons, and go ahead and start monitoring your credit because the information out there is free.
Okay, so suppose someone has used your credit. I've watched different television shows where their whole identity was robbed and people were trying, going to the police department, trying to get things cleared up because somebody used their credit card, bought a house and all these things and left that real person responsible for those purchases. So what do we do then? So how do you protect yourself if that is actually going on and happening? And if you file bankruptcy, will that include those purchases that were done by someone else?
Great question. So the answer to that is twofold. So identity theft, while it's definitely still prevalent, it's not as hard as it was, past 5-10 years to correct as it was before. So you can kind of dispute some of the things a lot easier than before. Because remember on those talk shows, they were like, somebody stole my identity and that's ruined my life and now I'm responsible. It's not as hard as it was before. So they're able to identify, number one. Number two, when you file bankruptcy, and this is the thing that people need to understand, because a lot of times when they're reporting your credit, after bankruptcy, they're not – sometimes they different creditors don't report on as that they're in the bankruptcy, and so that your credit is not being reestablished correctly. You understand what I'm saying? So, for example, I had some clients – they just purchased a home a few months ago. They filed bankruptcy a couple of years ago. There was a car that they had included in the bankruptcy. The car company didn't report it as being part of the bankruptcy, right? So it was out of the bankruptcy as it appeared on the credit report, and they were also reporting late payments. Well, by law, that's illegal. Mm-hmm. The car was added into the bankruptcy. And so they had to they contacted the car company and they said, hey, this is against the law. By law, this is in the bankruptcy. You can't report any lates. And they did that, and they ended up reporting it correctly, and their scores increased like 60-something points. So you have to know that once something is included in the bankruptcy, they have to make sure it's being reported correctly. And so probably 50% of the bankruptcies, once people file bankruptcies, they're not some of the items that should be in the bankruptcy are not being reported correctly. So that's why you have to still continue to monitor your credit because it might not be monitoring correctly.
I know that did happen to me back about 18 years ago when I filed. That did happen. I had had some things in a bankruptcy, and they were like, oh, no, because I put everything that I could think of in there. And then it seemed like once I filed bankruptcy, it was like, oh, then they resurfaced, but I had already put them in the bankruptcy. So I know that happens, too. Yeah, you filed bankruptcy and stuff. So, but you can pay me because I know you forgot. You thought we forgot about you.
Right. By law, they are not allowed to call you. They're not allowed to collect on it. They have to leave you alone. So once you file bankruptcy, that's it. It's dead.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, what happened to me was a debt that was on my credit report. From when I was married, I had put it in the bankruptcy, and when I bought my house, they actually put a lien on my house. And I had to write them and say, you can't put a lien on my house for this debt. That was included in the bankruptcy. And it took a while for me to get it off, but they did try to attach it. And to make matters worse, the loan wasn't even in my name. It was in my ex-husband's name in the first place.
Wow.
But I still put it in the bankruptcy just in case. And I'm glad I did. So we have to learn how to protect ourselves as well when we're dealing with our life, our credit and not feel that it's somebody else's responsibility to look out for us. We're our greatest asset, so we need to walk circumspectly and be that, an asset to the community as well as ourselves.
Nobody is going to look out for you better than you're going to look out for yourself. And that's the realest thing that my mama ever told me. You know, it's not on me. I remember when I was in high school, I told my mom, I'm going to get bad grades. And my mama said, if you want to, go ahead. But you know what? Ain't nobody. That's on you. That don't have nothing to do with me. So we have to just remember, no matter where we are in our lives, we have to be responsible for ourselves. And nobody's going to look out for us except for us. So we need to make sure that in whatever we do that we're vigilant. You know, there's so many people that have been left out of the home market. There's so many people who've been left out of the opportunity to build wealth, and it's because they're scared, and it's because they don't have the information, and the information is out there, and it's free. And it's in my book, too, and it's only $9.99 on Amazon. But the information is out there, and it'll get you started, and it'll point you in the right direction.
And, you know, the first direction is to go and order Constance Carter's book, Keep in Score, so that you can get yourself back in shape and in order and be a prospect and not walk around as a suspect where people around the corner saying, I wonder who's in, and not wanting to go and check the mailbox and
I've been
afraid
there, done
of what
it.
Bill is coming or the door knocks. Wonder who that is at the door. Who that?
Right. I remember when my mom, when I was little, somebody was out the door, and my mama said, tell them I ain't home. I answered the door. My mama said, she ain't here. No, we don't want to be doing that.
Yes.
We don't want to have to hide from anybody. So you're absolutely right.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm telling you, it is, you know, devastating to be out somewhere in public and trying to do something, and then you're turned down because, oops, somebody pulled your credit. I know I was with someone that was renting a car, and they went to use their credit card to rent the car, and they didn't have enough. And what people don't realize is when you're renting a car, it's better to have an actual credit card because a debit card, they will hold more. Mm-hmm. And this person did not have that. I was there with them, and they were like, well, can you use your card and put it on? But it was a humiliating experience to be in a situation like that. And then, you know, you feel kind of bad. And then you like, well, okay, you don't really want to use your card, but since the situation is so awkward, you'd be like, okay,
right,
you can use mine,
right. Well, you know, the other thing too is, what if you are at the grocery store and you're writing a check for some groceries, and they say we can't accept your checks? You know, that's why it's so important, again, to be vigilant about monitoring and seeing what's going on with your credit so that you won't be in those embarrassing situations like you just talked about. You always want to know what's going on. In fact, that happened to me a couple of years ago, and I said, I know I got good credit. What's really going on? And I
Okay, I think we lost Constance there. The signal dropped. She'll be calling back in shortly. But she has been giving us some fantastic information. We're talking to Constance Carter, who's a motivational speaker, entrepreneur, author, and she is a coach. And she has a book called Keeping Score, Constance Carter, on Amazon. You can purchase the book there from her. Shirley, are you there?
Yes, I am, and I think it's wonderful what she's talking about regarding the bankruptcy, and I wanted to answer a question about business bankruptcy. Once you file under that, are they allowed to come back years later and come after you? And, you know, so she's got a wealth of information. I am really looking forward to getting her book and reading more about the credit repair and everything, because I know, you know, that I've gone through some things with my credit stuff, and I just want to make sure I'm still on the right track.
Can you repeat?
Yeah, I know. Constance.
Can you repeat that? I'm sorry. Somehow I dropped off the call.
I was
Shirley wanted to know. Go ahead, Shirley.
Hi, Shirley.
Hi. You know, I've been listening to you because I'm traveling, but it's, you know, you have a wealth of information about credit and bankruptcy and everything. And one of the questions I have was, if you file a business bankruptcy, how does that affect you personally? Are they allowed to come back at you later, years later, after it's gone through the bankruptcy court and everything?
No. Once you file bankruptcy, and it depends on the type of bankruptcy, of course, but once you file bankruptcy, you're pretty much done. So you don't have to worry about someone coming after you later. No. It's simply for reestablishing yourself.
Wow, because I did have that happen to me years ago. I had a business that filed bankruptcy on it, and it was like 8 years later, I get a notice from a credit collector about a bill that was in my business. And I'm like, wow. You have to really do some digging to find that one.
Well, you just have to know. And unfortunately, there are so many consumers out there that don't have the information and they don't know. And so if somebody comes back 8 years later and say, you know what, you really owe us this money, they'll try. Trust me, there's a lot of unscrupulous businesses out there that will try to collect on stuff that they have no right to collect on. And sometimes they get it and sometimes they don't. But they'll try.
Yeah.
What's the difference between filing a corporate bankruptcy versus a personal one? And can you, like, say, if you have a corporation and you file in bankruptcy, can you include your personal debt, being that you're a signer under the corporation and under the bankruptcy?
So, like, you mean like the corporate stuff that you're a personal guarantor for, or just your separate personal? So yes, the corporate debt that you are a personal guarantor for, you can include in the bankruptcy.
Okay. Thank you so much for that information, Constance.
You are very welcome.
Keeping score on Amazon.com, and she's on Facebook, and you're on Twitter. So people can keep up with you. And you said on your Facebook you keep videos every week, updated videos where people can go back over and play them.
Yes, ma'am. I have a little segment called Ask Constance. And, you know, I try to keep it light. Sometimes I'm real serious. This week I was talking about church stuff, you know, if you have a building fund, like how does that affect your church's ability to qualify for a loan? So just different things that I think are that I've experienced and I think are things that people need to hear. But my biggest thing, Shirley and Valerie, is just really just giving basic information to everyday people. And people, you know, inbox me all the time, and they'll ask me different questions, and I'll answer them in the inbox, but I'll also share some of the questions. I won't mention any names, but I'll share some of the questions on my videos. Just, you know, like I said, my mission is just to spread the word, give it as free as possible. But the reason why I wrote the book, and I wrote it because I'm giving the same information over and over and over again. And I said, you know what, and I'm out here and I'm educating people. I need to give them something tangible that they can walk away with, that they can always reference. And it's all in one place. So the information is out there on the web, and you can get some of the information for free. But here's a place where you can get all of it in one place. And you don't got to pay $1,000 for a credit repair person, because I've seen people do that. You pay $9.99 on Amazon, and you can get a lot of the information right there and just start right there. There are truly legitimate credit repair companies, so I'm not taking that away from them. And I don't do that. I don't do credit repair, so that's not my bag. But there's a lot of things that credit repair companies, they're getting paid for, that people can do themselves. And this is really kind of a starter kit on how I can improve my score myself. So, you know,
okay.
I've had situations where people have – oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. I just kept going.
No, I was like, okay, that's great. You know, we almost out of time. We got 5 minutes, but I have people emailing and texting me questions to ask you. And one more thing I want to ask you before we get off the air is, how do you remove hard credit inquiries, like people that constantly do inquiries and it brings your credit score down, and especially those that are repetitious inquiries? How do we get those removed?
There is a way, and I do not cover it in my book, but so there's two things. Hard inquiries stay on your credit report for 2 years. I don't really have the information on removing hard inquiries. I know that they fall off after 2 years. I know that there is a way to have them removed. I just don't cover that information in my book.
Oh, okay. I wanted to know, because if you reach out to the person that did the inquiry, they're like, it's going to drop off just like you said. But in the meanwhile, it affects the credit score if it's on there, especially if it's done over and over again.
Well, there's a couple of different things with that, though. Inquiries are only 10% of your whole credit picture. So if you look at it like a pie, and you have the revolving debt is really what you want to deal with. Your credit card debt, that's the biggest thing. That's the biggest factor that can move your credit one way or the other. The inquiries, 10%, if they're not correct inquiries, you could absolutely dispute them, and they can be removed if they're not correct, if they've been done without your permission. There's absolutely a way you can do that. As far as like inquiries that you've actually had that are true inquiries, I don't necessarily know how to remove true inquiries. They just fall off after 2 years. The other thing about inquiries is, if you're applying for a mortgage or if you're applying for a car and you have, say you're at, and they're sending it to a lot of different lenders and everybody's pulling your credit, it's not affecting your score where it's going to drop your score. You know, every time you get a hit, it's going to drop your score. You have a 45-day window to where you can shop for a car or you can shop for a home, and the credit reporting agencies, they look at it as one inquiry instead of several different inquiries. So, yeah, it looks bad on your credit report. You have a lot of different inquiries in your credit report. But if it's done within that 45-day window, if you're shopping for a home, shopping for a car, it's only going to hit you one time.
Okay, excellent. Thank you so much. Any closing remarks and tips? Because I tell you, Hot Topics from the Soul, we always running out of time. So I know I have people holding, wanting to ask other questions and things.
Oh,
so hopefully I've gotten things in. But the best thing to do is invest in yourself. Invest in yourself.
Ma'am.
$9.99 for Constance Carter's book that will transform your life and allow you
I
to walk
you
as the king and queen you are, because you
That's
will have
right.
squeaky clean credit. Any closing remarks?
Listen, I could talk about credit all day long, Valerie, but I appreciate you giving me this platform to share the information. Again, the information is free. Go on Facebook, like my page, Constance Carter, Real Estate Broker. Inbox me questions that you have. So any questions that didn't get answered here, I'm more than willing to help you and answer those questions on my Facebook page. You could do that. Give me some topics to talk about on my Ask Constance videos. That will be great, too. But just, you know, like Valerie said, invest in yourself. Spend that $9.99 and get the book, and I think it'll start you on the right track. And there's so many different little tips and nuggets that I didn't get to share today, but that are in the book that I think will help you, and that'll go a long way. So thank you again, Valerie. Thank you again, Shirley, for allowing me to be on your show today. I truly, truly, truly appreciate it.
Thank you.
Well, I appreciate you. Absolutely. Being so candid and transparent. And Shirley, you know, we deal with this all the time. Somebody's always calling us saying, can you get somebody to talk about credit? Can we tell us how we can clean up our act a little bit so that we can move on and delete some stress in our lives? So those of you that have been calling in and emailing and texting, take this show, download it, and forward it to a friend. But most of all, I need you to go on Amazon and purchase Keeping Score with Constance Carter. That is your first homework assignment. Your first step to liberation is investing in yourself. You spent thousands of dollars ruining your credit, spend $10 to clean it up. This has been Dr. Valerie Parker with Hot Topics from the Soul. And remember, our deepest fear is not that we're inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we're more powerful beyond measure, by Marianne Williamson. Good night and God bless.
God bless. Thank you.